Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your scriptures are so amazing and so wonderful. Help us to see with your eyes, to hear with your ears what the scripture has to say, and to see the mighty things that the scriptures would tell us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this is becoming one of my favorite Bible verses. My favorite Bible verse was Galatians 6:9. Let us not weary in doing well, for in due season we shall reap. Okay, that was a long time ago. I was ready. I was busy with church activities and this and that, but I had no clue what I was doing, and I was just tired and frustrated and everything else. I just wanted to quit. The pastor came back with that one, and I'm like, okay, we can do this. So this one here is becoming one of my more favorite ones because it's showing me that the scriptures are just amazing. This is, and there's not much to look at here, but if you see what's behind it, it's amazing. Now, these things will happen to them as examples, as were written upon for our instruction, whom the ages, end of the ages have come. This is talking about the children of Israel. So everything that happened in the Old Testament was put there for a reason. And lots of people have lots of questions about lots of things, and there's lots of things that I don't have answers for. But God put the Old Testament together so that we can have the knowledge that we need to navigate through these dark waters that we're in. So every weird Bible story that you read is put there for a reason, to teach you a Bible lesson. In fact, they all teach the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ somehow. No matter how weird the story is, they teach, I'm serious, they do. Whether it's Adam taking a bite from the apple or the fruit, that was symbolic of Jesus couldn't bear to live in the world without his church. Eve was deceived. Adam couldn't bear to live without her. That's why Jesus came to deliver us, okay? So, and you can do that through all the different Bible stories that are all in there. And they're real people, real places, real times, real events that God used to teach a lesson in salvation. And I just think that's so cool. If that God can do that for me, they have to use my life as some kind of gospel lesson, that'd be awesome. Okay, so the term leprosy, when you talk about leprosy in scriptures, it's an odd mixture, and then you get people to talk about it on the internet, because everything on the internet is true, right, kids? Well, I don't know where else to go. I mean, I don't go to the library, so I go to the internet when I want to find stuff out. What I'm finding out is leprosy is an odd it's not just Hansen's disease. Hansen's disease is where your skin starts to puff up and turn white and crusty, and then your finger, your digits fall off, your nose fall off. It's really sad. It's really a sad, sad thing. But it's more than that. Because if you start reading through this, through the different gospels, it talks about mold. It talks about mildew and different things. And if you can't wash it from your house, you can't clean it from your house, you destroy the house. God's camp was supposed to be pure. It's supposed to be a place of holiness. And to have diseases running rampant through there was never part of God's plan. Okay? So when a person was, or a house or a thing was declared to have leprosy, it was taken out of the camp. If you notice, God's people still lived their normal lives when this stuff was happening. They took out the contagion from them. And this is talking about sin, okay? So there's this huge parallel between sin and leprosy. And that was the lesson I was supposed to teach. So this is what I found on the internet, and it's true, I think. The term leprosy, including leper, lepers, leprosy, leprous, occurs 68 times in the Bible, 55 times in the Old Testament, and 13 times in the New. In the Old Testament, the instances of leprosy most likely are a variant of infectious skin diseases, whether it was boils, gross pussy infections, actual Hansen's disease, or whatnot. Likely meant of right, and even mold and mildew on clothing and walls. The precise meaning of leprosy in both the Old and New Testaments is still in dispute, but it probably includes Hansen's disease and infectious skin diseases. To live that life, to have this thing decided upon you that you have leprosy, or if you have this infectious disease, the priest would declare that you could not stay within God's people, within the camp of God's people. You had to leave. It was such a hard thing. It put you out without a job. It essentially made you homeless, diseased, with no way to take care of yourself except for your family members coming out and ministering to your needs on occasions. It'd be a very lonely life. So can you imagine, that's when Jesus came to heal this guy. Can you imagine the gratitude that was coming to this guy? This guy had given up everything. Was living the life of this homeless vagabond, diseased, going everywhere, covering his mouth. Unclean, unclean, don't come near me. Don't come near me. A horrible life. And again, there's parallels there with sin. When you talk about the leper and the priest, here you have two different classes of people that are so widely different. Here you have the priest who's representing God himself and all of his methods and ideas. And here you have the exact opposite, on the other extreme, this poor leper who's just tied up in all of this disease and sin and whatever else with nothing. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent. You take your clothing and you tear your clothing and you show people that you're in mourning, that your clothing was an outward sign of how you were doing. So if you were mourning or if you were sick, you rent your clothes, that people would know that things weren't okay. And his head shall be bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, that he shall be defiled, and he is unclean, and he shall dwell alone without the camp, and shall be his habitation be without means outside. If you had these diseases or if you had these problems in your life, you were not allowed to have that spread among God's camp. There's a separation there. Talks about, this is Numbers 12, this is Miriam. There was a division in the camp. Moses talked to his wife about, got some, what they ought to do with going forward. And Miriam and her brother got a little bent out of shape about it. And they're like, hey, are we not, does not the Lord speak with us? Why are you talking to her? And so they started this little mini insurrection in the camp. And this was Miriam, this was Moses' sister. A cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon her, and behold, she was leprous. In that moment, jealousy, her murmuring, her fault-finding caused this pandemic it could have turned into a pandemic, but her jealousy, her murmuring, her fault-finding started this, was the beginning step of the camp of Israel to be defiled. They had just left Egypt. They had just left everything. And already they have this problem in the camp where God's people are starting to murmur against each other. And God used this as a sign, saying, look, this sin, this is a cancer that's going to spread throughout the camp. And if it doesn't stop, and it doesn't stop now, you guys are going to have a real problem later on. I don't know, for a couple years ago, I was preaching through the different women in the Bible. Okay, so Bible students, a woman in Bible prophecy is? A church. Okay, now plug that same thing into these Bible stories here, and you see something happening here. Moses was symbolic of God here, leading his people out of Egypt into the promised land, and here you have the woman, his church, murmuring against him. what part of that has changed since that day? God's people are still murmuring against him, and there's still this plague that's happening to us. It's a leprosy that we need to put out of our camp. There's another story, the big story of leprosy. This is Naaman. He came from another country. He was a captain of the army, and he had leprosy, but he has one of his servant girls was a Hebrew and said, hey, there's this guy Elisha down in Israel. He can help you out. He's like, Israel? Ew, I don't want to go down there. She says, no, it's okay. So he went, he talked to Elijah. Elijah said, you go dip yourself into the Jordan River 7 times and God will cleanse you. Okay? He's like, ew, We got cleaner rivers up where I'm from. I'm not going into Jordan. That's nasty. And she said, no. Just do it. Just do it. Show faith in God and God will take care of you. Okay. So Naaman, he went down into the water. He did what God did. And the leprosy was cleansed from him. Can you imagine that the joy? And in that moment, he was full of God's gratitude towards God. He would have taken that message back to his homeland and said, wow, look what the great God of the Hebrews has done for me. He said, this is great. Let me pay you guys. And Elisha's like, no, we're not taking anything for this. But his servant Gehazi says, you know what? What are we doing here? There's gold. There's clothing. We can get all this stuff. And he waited for Elijah to leave, and he went back, and he went back to Naaman and said, oh, no, my master, he told him a lie. He said, my master told me to go ahead and grab these things from you. And when God found out about it, he says that the leprosy that was on Naaman shall be upon you. Okay, so there's always this parallel between leprosy and sin that seems to parallel. And it seems to me that God was using these stories of leprosy and the actual real people, real times, to teach us lessons about dependence upon God and how dangerous our condition really is. I mean, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Jesus talked quite a bit with his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. Pride, arrogance, thinking you're better than other people. It's, and it gets in there and it starts spreading around. And so the whole idea with leprosy is to remove it from the camp. I can only imagine how joyful that guy felt when Jesus came and he healed that guy. In the name of Jesus, I come here and be clean. And you go to the foot of Jesus and he makes you clean. But that's where modern Christianity takes the story and it cuts it off. It says, okay, that's all you have to do. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, go back and follow the law of Moses. I want you to go back to the priest and do the cleansing ritual that you've been ordered to do. He said, don't go back and tell everybody what's happening. Okay, he said that because he knew that when he started telling people what was happening, the throng, people would mob him and he wouldn't be able to effectively minister the way he intended to. Okay. But he had, this man who had leprosy still has something to do. Okay, he was made clean. Now what? That's not the end of the story. You still have to present yourself to the priest. You still have to be declared clean before he could enter the camp. Just because Jesus made him clean does not mean he was allowed to enter the camp. There's a difference there. You weren't clean until the high priest said you were clean. In fact, it was the priest who declared you unclean. That same guy is the one who had to declare you clean. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve fell. And it was Jesus, it was God himself that declared us unclean. And it's also the one who died on our behalf, cleansed us, brought us to his altar, and now he's going to declare us clean again. So, this is what happens. Okay. And if the priest shall go forth out, and the priest shall go out of the camp. Okay, so this was, there's of all the different things that happened in the temple services, they all happened, most of them happened right there, except for the red heifer offering and this one. These are the only two that happened on the outside. Well, the Passover too. Passover happened on the outside, but that's the family members that were doing. So this was one of the two where the priest actually left the temple area, went out to where the man was. And the priest shall look and behold, till if the plague of leprosy be healed in a leper, then shall the priest command to take him that is to be cleansed, two birds, like two pigeons or two doves, and clean, and cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Okay, it gets complicated here. No. scarlet, by the way, is lamb's wool that's been cleaned, and it's been dyed. It's ultimately going to be dyed red by the blood of the sacrifice. That's what the scarlet is here. So you have birds, cedar, wool, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel under running water, and the living bird shall be taken, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and the dip them in the living bird, the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed with the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Okay, do you catch all that? You write that down? There's a lot of moving pieces here. So we need to break it down so we understand, okay? So the priest shall command that one of the birds killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now if you, all these things happen unto them as examples unto the end of the earth that have come. Here you're going to find all the different nuances of what happened with Jesus on Calvary. Okay. The city of heaven through the middle of the city is a river of life that runs through there. Jesus declared himself to be the living water that was poured out on the Feast of Tabernacles on the eighth day. Jesus was the one who at the cross of Calvary, his side was pierced and the blood came out. And what else came out? The water. The water flowed from the heart of Jesus out onto the ground. Okay. So, and the priest shall command that the one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel. So you took the clay pot and the bird, and you killed the bird inside the clay pot so it would catch the blood. That bird was symbolic of Jesus' death. That was the lamb that was crucified. It was the death of that bird. All sin causes death, okay? All sin causes death to happen to the human family. It is either going to be us who pays for that sin, or it's going to be Jesus who paid for that sin. Okay? And it shall be in an earthen vessel over running water. So here you have the atonement spelled out for us. Jesus was hanging there on the cross, on this pole, on this wooden pole. And that's where the cedar comes in, okay? Through the wood and the water and the blood and the lamb. And all these things are spelled out for us. And the living bird shall take it, and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird and the blood. So you take this live bird. Okay, I know that in our minds, in our Western minds, that just sounds so absurd. I'm going to dip this live bird in the blood of the other dead bird, right? Gross. That's just gross. Okay. It is the blood of Christ that covers us. It is his righteousness that makes us free. When Jesus died on the cross, he was hanging there on the cross, and his blood was dripping down, dripping down, dripping down. The hyssop, they took the hyssop branch, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. What they did is Jesus' crucifixion, they took a hyssop branch, picked up a sponge, filled it with vinegar and gave it to him to drink. He refused it. Okay. So here again, you have all these reminders of the cross of Calvary here, and it has to do with the cleansing of the leper, the removing of sin in our lives. And shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water.
Wow. Amen.
And shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed and from the leprosy seven times and pronounce him clean. So the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled upon this gentleman or lady, and they were declared clean. And he shall pronounce them clean and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. In Mr. Haskell's book, he went at a great length to tell us, not only does sin affect you, okay, not only does sin affect the camp that we live in, sin has affected the entire earth. This earth has been polluted because of man's selfishness. And I don't want to get on this big, long, green earth tirade. But to say that man hasn't polluted the earth, you'd be deceiving yourself. And it's because of our sin. So when God cleanses the leper, not only does he cleanse the human that has the leprosy, but he's cleansing the area that he touched, that he lived in, that he was in. God is, through his sacrifice, not only did he cleanse humanity, but he's going to cleanse this earth. And that's what that's talking about. The bird dipped in the blood. Sounds gross, right? He's flying through the air, shedding that blood wherever he goes. Here you have the dove, the Holy Spirit, shedding about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, cleansing the earth and the sinners all around.
Amen.
Isn't this cool? This is cool. Isaiah says this, come and let us now reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be white as snow, they shall be like red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. The hardest thing to do is to cleanse garments stained with blood. But God, through his mercy and his miracle power, is able to cleanse us mightily. They shall be white as wool. God is going to cleanse us. God is going to make us whole. God is going to take away all of our sin, and he's going to cleanse this earth. Okay. He's reaching out to people. He's trying to take us where we are. There's these hideous creatures that were just encrusted with sin. We're encrusted with this leprosy, and he's saying, come out over my people, and come out into this glorious land, and I will make you clean, but you have to do what I ask you to. Okay. We're not free, not licensed to go out and be sinners afterwards, because we have no more salvation after that. And I'd say if our sermon ended there, that'd be great, right? But there's more. There's more to this story. I just love it when God gives you, okay, but you got that part, right? Okay, there's more. Because that was the first part. The priest would come out, he would declare you clean, and then you had to wait 8 days and come back into the camp. And you had one more thing you had to do. And on the eighth day, he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of the fine flour, and a meat offering mingled with oil, and 1 log of oil. So here you have the sacrificial lambs. Okay, you had I didn't get into it too deeply here. Well, I think I did, but not. I could have gone deeper. Let's put it that way. You have a sin offering, a trespass offering, and a peace offering here. It's all happening at the same time. Sin offering is sins that you knew were wrong and you did it anyway. That's a sin offering. That's the sin. The trespass is where in the heat of whatever you didn't intend to, but you did what you knew was wrong out of anger or wrath or some other reason, okay? And the peace offering was just something that you did that you wanted to make peace with God. You brought this sacrifice. So Jesus brings us peace with God. The first year without blemish, and the 3/10 deals, that's smaller portions. I'm doing more research on the Bible weights and measures, and I'm still learning all these things. I just read yesterday was that an omer was sometimes equivalent to a sheaf. So this would be 1/10 of a sheaf of grain that you would grind up. So I'm guessing it'd be quart, something like that-ish. And then this log of oil, I actually found weights and measures things on the internet, and it says about 10 ounces. So about 10 ounces of oil. So on the eighth day, that's really a complicated way of saying this. Okay, and on the eighth day, he shall take 2 he lambs without blemish, 1 ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 deals of fine flour and meat offering. So here you have the bread of life being offered up, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the log of oil is the Holy Spirit. That's all here on this eighth day. It's the sanctification of this person leading their new life. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear. So he would do these offerings. He would sacrifice the lambs. They would make the cakes and put them on the fire, and they would be burned up. So all sin is destroyed at the altar, and that altar is where symbolic of the cross. Okay. All sin will be destroyed by fire. And so then right after that, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on his big toe. Okay, again, you're getting into some weird stuff. That's not stuff we do in church anymore, okay? And the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in the left hand, and sprinkle it upon the finger of the... oil with his finger before the Lord 7 times. So he takes some of the same oil, sprinkles it towards the altar 7 times. And the rest of the oil that is in his hand, the priest shall put upon the tip of his right ear, on him that is to be cleansed, and on the thumb of the right hand, and on the great toe of the right foot of the blood of this trespass offering. In this, the priest would take some of the blood. This is so much like the anointing of the priest. Very, very reminiscent of that. The oil would touch the ear. God would have us, okay, now that we've been cleansed, now that we've gone to the Lord and we've asked him to purify us, we've been purified. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He takes us and puts the oil on our ear so that way we don't partake of things that are going to pollute our mind again. We don't go back to the life that we had. Okay. We don't look with our eyes. We don't hear with our ears. We don't partake of the sin of this world anymore. He touches our right thumb. Whatever your hands to do for the Lord, do with all thy might. We're not in the service of Satan anymore. Now your hands are sanctified for the Lord. And on your big toe, so wherever we go, wherever we're doing in the service of the Lord. This is what this is talking about. And this is the part, if we don't understand, we get all sleepy and we nod off and we don't understand. Wow, this is amazing stuff here. Amen. Jesus is pleading with us. Okay, fine, you've been saved. The Christian church is very good about preaching the salvation message. You know, come to the foot of the cross, come to the cleansing of Jesus, and you will be set free. You are not under the bondage of sin anymore. You are set free from all this. Okay, now you have something to do. You can't go back to that same life. You can't go back to the same places. You can't do the same things that we did before. It's just like in the last sermon, we talked about the cities of sanctuary. Once the person who fled from being the manslayer, he fled to the city of sanctuary for safety. That sanctuary is Jesus. We can't flee from Jesus anymore. We have to live in him. And through him. And it's through his power. He is the high priest. He is the one who sanctifies us. He is the one who places the oil on our ears. He's the one who places the oil on our thumb and our big toes. He's the one that does all that work. So what we got to do is just be faithful. Faithful to the great God of heaven. So I'm asking you today, what would you do? What will you do? If you want to be clean, then by all means, God is more than willing to do that for you. But you're going to have something to do afterwards, and that's to walk with him. We're not given a free license to go out and sin after we've been delivered from such a great thing. Leprosy. I can't imagine having Hansen's disease and having my finger fall off. And there's nothing you can do about it, nothing. Just live with 9 digits. And then 6, and then 3, and then have stumps. I mean, there's nowhere to go except to God. That's how hideous that sin is to God. And I hope and I pray that we can see this message throughout all of the scriptures. Our God is awesome. And he gave us this entire scriptures to see and to hear what the message is. Let's pray. Father God, glorious and wonderful is your name. Awesome and powerful is your deliverance. Keep us. Keep us safe, Lord. Sanctify us. Help us to turn away. Turn away from all the wickedness that we once did. To repent. To walk with you. And to get ready for that great day. I pray in Jesus' name.